Welcome to episode 10 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. I'm going to launch straight into the show this week, which sees me catching up with my good friend and fellow photographer, Matt Sills. Earlier in the week, Matt and I took a trip up to London to have a look around the production show. This was an event aimed at professionals involved in film, areas such as commercials, music videos, theatre and documentaries. Now that's not necessarily the sort of place you'd expect to find a couple of stills photographers, but as you'll hear, we came away from the show full of ideas, a number of contacts and plenty of information which will no doubt inspire and push our work forward in the future. So, without further ado, welcome one and all to The Active Photographer, episode 10. Okay, so earlier in the week, Matt Sills, who is sat opposite me, and myself, we went up to London to the production show. And also, what was the other one, Matt? We've just talked about this.
Broadcast Video Expo.
Broadcast Video Expo, there we go. Now, of course, we're both stills photographers, so why are we at a film-based sort of show? Why were we there? There were two reasons, weren't there? Well, the first one, we wanted to see the seminar.
Yeah, the seminar was about... using your DSLR to shoot video and the rigging and things involved with it.
And it's really interesting because we were sat there, were we in the front row?
Yeah, front row.
Yeah, front row, right next to the PA, the speakers there. And the guy that was there, he was from Park Cameras.
Park Cameras and the EOS.
And
Association,
EOS.
Canon.
And so it was like totally sort of towards Canon kind of emphasis, which is fine because that debate always rages. But I would say probably about 98% of the people that were sat there, they were all film people,
hardcore film,
using sort of tens of thousands of pounds worth of kit. But what was interesting was he was kind of, I suppose he was trying to convince or influence these people as to why they shouldn't be spending 40 grand on a camera, why they could be using a DSLR for sort of a couple of grand, then lenses and all the rest of it. It was you that kind of said we should see this, and that's kind of how I got to see it.
I think that's where photographers, this whole convergence thing at the moment with video is something that we need to look at. My clients are more and more often asking me, can you shoot a bit of film? We need a piece to camera for the website, we need a little bit of viral, we need, and rather than employing somebody else, I want their bit of budget. So that's what I'm looking at, because we're creative, we create images, whether they're moving, whether they're stills, whatever. If we've got the kit and we've got the creativity, why shouldn't we do it? So I think it's brilliant that
but
this is happening.
It's not a case of trying to be a jack of all trades. I think it is a legitimate crossover now. We've got Vincent Laferrette, or Laferay as our American friends would say, Chase Jarvis, all these people, regular listeners
know.
Peru, yeah. Yep. I've linked to Chase in the past, and I will do again in the show notes, and also I will also for Peru and what have you. They are known as much for their photography, more so as they are for their moving image.
Yep.
Now there was a slight, I won't say animosity, but there was a sense in the audience that we didn't kind of want to put our hands up and say, "Oh yes, we're stills photographers," because it was like us and them kind of.
Yeah, there is that us and them thing, and there seems to be a fear from a lot of the old school guys that you tend to notice that the older guys who obviously been doing it for a long time have got this fear of photographers coming in and trying to take work from them and things like that. But a lot of the younger guys were saying, "Yeah, we shoot on DSLRs." There's a guy, Ross Caswell, another one for your show notes.
Yeah.
He's recently shot a documentary for Land Rover out in Africa. I shoot with him quite a lot, and he shoots all his film on DSLRs, where he can, where it's possible.
And as I was saying to you earlier, when I was up at the outdoors show, a few weeks ago, up at London again, I was having a chat with Simon King, the TV wildlife, and he had a Canon rigged up with this big old kind of like 600mm kind of type size lens. And I saw this and I went up and said to him, "Look, to what degree do you use these cameras as a filmmaker now? Is this like a backup? Is it a secondary remote?" And he says, "No, I shoot everything."
Yeah.
And this is not necessarily high-end kit. This is like prosumer, the stuff that I forget the model that he's using, but it's not out of the reaches of, you know, we both know, you know, we sort of gear freaks, we like our cameras. But for someone that does have their regular 9-to-5, but they're a keen photographer or filmmaker, you're going to save up. If you want a particular piece of kit, you're going to save up. So more and more there are people using these cameras, and it's I guess it's kind of in the same way that there has been this change with photography. You know, a lot of pro photographers get kind of they get sort of a little bit worried when they speak to, or they see that there's all these amateur photographers that are kind of getting in on their patch. Well, yeah. What are you going to do? It's the technology is there for people to use. So it's very interesting going back to the show there to see the reaction from people that are, as you say, hardcore filmmakers. But just as an aside, there was something that I think I was at another part of the show, and you phoned me up to say you need to come and listen to this. It was on the
producers
show.
The seminar was just dedicated to producers, setting up films, producing them.
But what that was, what was it they were saying about sort of what you can and can't do in terms of filming in London?
Yeah.
That if you're, because it's public space, everyone can walk around and record and film what have you, but there's what was it, you can have certain, you obviously you have to give notice or what have you, but the moment you put your tripod legs down on the ground, that changes
right.
it.
Yeah, straight away you're causing obstruction in a public space, even if there's nobody around for miles. Yeah, legally you're obstructing public space, so you have to have permits. Different boroughs, different councils across the country all have different rules on sort of lead-in times and things like that, but yes, when shooting video or photography, as soon as you put your tripod down, you need to let somebody know about it.
It's very interesting, and again, this sort of, you know, these shows that are not aimed at stills photographers, a lot of you guys listening will know that we're always up at Focus on Imaging, which is every year, which is it's next month,
it
March.
Is. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll be there doing various things, and I'll be bringing some reports from the show. But there are all these shows out. There's always a show for anyone, whether you're into caravanning or crochet or photography. Great examples. Why did I pick out crochet? But actually, I know full well.
Because
right.
You love crochet.
That's what it is. But yeah, so it's always good to see different shows and talk to different people. And we came away from there thinking, okay, we went there to listen to this one seminar about the use of DSLRs because we're, you know, sort of looking towards that sort of thing. But we came away from there having done a load of networking. I've got some more contacts for some gear that I'm going to be hopefully reviewing in the coming months. And there was also a company, and I've got their flyer here. It's a company called Off Tracks, and again, I'll link to that in the show notes. And they basically supply you with really smart VW van, which is all rigged out with all the grip equipment. It's all scaffolded with booms and what have you.
Low-level sheeting platforms, radio mics, so you can talk to drivers. Basically, for shooting moving vehicles or anything that's moving, you can hang off the back, the side, the top of this thing, and shoot on a fairly stable, comfortable platform.
And relatively speaking, I know you you had more of an in-depth chat with guys on the stand, because I had to go off and do other things, but they were saying that the cost of the, and I'd say, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you were saying that it's for the van, the crew, and the various sort of rigs on there, it's about 400 day plus mileage.
Plus mileage, yeah. I think it's 195 to hire the van. Then you have a driver of a minimum of 8 hours, which includes his travel time as well. So it's a minimum of about £400 plus mileage. You get the first 50 miles free.
Yeah.
But I think it works out extremely good value for money. The importance of the things like this is you don't want to be hanging out the back of your friend's car,
which we both done.
I've done shoots where I've been hanging off the back of an L200 with someone holding my belt, stopping me falling out the back, trying to
do some
car to car stuff. I've been strapped to motorbikes. I've hung out the back of Mini Cooper convertibles, and it's never never that much fun because you're trying to concentrate on not dying rather than taking the pictures.
Yeah.
Doesn't look too good for your clients either if they turn up. So
yeah.
Yeah, this van thing is I've potentially got a shoot later this year when I need to be shooting a brochure for a car manufacturer. So it's definitely something I'm going to get on board. It's going to make my life easier, and also having the right kit always looks good in front of your
clients. Well, do you know, we were talking about pro photo kit,
yeah.
Lighting kit earlier today, and yeah, pro photo stuff, it always looks nice, it always
beautiful.
Looks smart. We better stop it there before we get all geeked
yeah,
out
no,
on
no,
it. But
I'm
but these,
using it, I think it's great.
But these, you know, it's functional, but also, you know, if you, it's like turning up to a job, if you had a clapped out sort of 25-year-old car which had loads of rust and what have you.
Yeah.
You're looking at me as if I already do drive.
Yeah, it's only about 21 years old.
21. Well, no, 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 it's 13, I think. Yeah. But it's modern day classics, so there we go. No,
classic.
But you know, this vehicle to look at, it had a presence. It
yeah.
looked really smart and what have you. So it was really good to kind of catch up with those people. The other thing that was at the show, you had the production show and then you had the broadcast video expo. And like a lot of these shows, for example, when I was in London for the outdoor show, you had the London Boat Show alongside and
yeah.
the London Bike Show. And this was a case in point that they both kind of sort of merged one into the other. You kind of went through like a... in fact, the picture that's on the top of the show notes... for this week's show,
the arch
which led you into the
arch of destiny.
That was the only way to get to the toilets, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. Yeah, you had to go through there.
But you know, it's, so there's again, it's kind of okay, they were related industry, production and broadcasting and what have you, so there was a crossover, but that was really good, I thought, for us, because we kind of got an insight into different sort of aspects, different sides, and
definitely.
And the suppliers that were in both areas, as it were, there was a natural crossover, and we kind of made the relation, or kind of like the crossover between those two shows and Focus on Imaging.
Yeah.
And we were talking to some of the people that were there, and we were saying, are you going to be exhibiting up at Focus? And it was interesting. I know you kind of picked up on this. Some of the people on the stands at the shows this week were kind of like, it's almost they thought, no, that's stills photography. We don't do that. Now,
yeah.
even if they were supplying certain items, like I forget the name of it now, but we were looking at some LED lighting setups that go around
Rotolight,
I think it was.
That, yeah.
I'll double check that and link to it in the show notes. But again, you know, I'm going to be looking at their stuff in the coming months. They are going to be at Focus,
yeah.
So it'd be nice to go and have a chat with them. And they have actually said that they're happy to do a little interview up at
yeah,
Focus, which would be really
nice. There's
quite
a few guys there that are going to be at Focus, but the ones that said they weren't, their main reason was they were kind of saying that this whole convergence thing is not going to take off. It's
yeah,
going to be
that
fad,
was very interesting.
Which was really odd, because if you think back 10, 15 years ago, whenever it was, I remember people saying, oh, this whole digital thing, it's a flash in the pan.
Yeah.
No one's going to go down that route. And the digital revolution in photography is pretty much the sole thing that's given the industry its stability
yeah.
that it's got now, because photography has become so accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
And now video is accessible to everybody.
And it keeps
and it,
everyone
and
on their
crossing
toes.
Over. But yeah, I think it's very short, personally, I think it's very short-sighted of these people to say it's not going to take off when already it's booming. You've got the guys we mentioned earlier, you know, at the top of their game, already crossing over and shooting both. There's people I work with who are shooting both. I'm looking to do it. There's a massive buzz. You only Professional Photographer magazine now have 2 or 3 pages every month dedicated
to
convergence. It's the people that are saying it's never going to take off are kind of missing the boat, because it's already happened.
And the thing is, there has been with you know the continued success of the likes of YouTube and blogging as
Vimeo
a whole
and
Vimeo, that people have been using behind the scenes video and stuff for a good few years now.
Yeah.
And all this is a natural progression, in the same way as with me with the podcast. I started off Initially, I had my website, and then some way down the line, I did a newsletter to send out to clients, which you remember. Then there was the blog, and then it kind of the latest kind of progression is the podcast. So it's an ongoing thing, but people just want, because they can, because costs have come down. I think people know that they can get higher quality. You can shoot HD on little point and shoots now.
My iPhone 4. You can shoot HD video. Yeah. In fact, there's a guy, I haven't got his details to hand, I'll send you the link and you can link to it.
Yeah, sure.
Who shot a full feature movie on an iPhone 4 using that Owly thing.
What was it, Owly?
Owly, O-W-L-E or something like that. I've got details. But this guy, I think it's in Japan or China, has shot a feature length movie using an iPhone and this grip thing for the iPhone 4.
Which gave more.
And it shoots HD video. I shoot video of my daughter all the time on my iPhone, and it's rubbish at taking pictures, but the video is amazing. And so it's accessible now.
It's like you're saying, there are more and more accessories coming out for it. I think I sent you a link earlier in the week to some company that's produced a 400mm lens to go on the front of an iPhone.
Yeah, I saw that. I think you've got links to it in your show previously.
It's a very exciting time.
It's brilliant. I'm really glad I'm sort of getting on board with it. I've got a huge production coming up at the end of March where I'm shooting stills for sportswear brand and a drinks brand at the same time. They're linked in on sponsorship. And we're shooting stills, but we're also producing a 2.5 minute viral video, some interviews. There's about 4 different things we're shooting over 2 days, and it's all done on DSLRs, and it is a crossover of photo and video. We're also doing behind the scenes videos, which I'll send you links to. They'll be on my blog eventually one day. When I get around to it, I'm not quite as good at you as blogging, but I do have a blog and occasionally put things on it. So that's really interesting. And so it's two and a half days of using this kit, basically for two different purposes, but it's the same kit. And it just proves that you can do it now. I'm not a filmmaker, I'm a photographer, but I am starting to produce some short films and get involved in directing and just an interest. Yeah. I think the way I look at it is, we're all, like I said to you earlier, we're all image makers, whether it's video or stills or whatever. It's kind of, we're producing images, and whether you've got the best gear in the world or it doesn't matter what you've got, it's what you do with it. I always say this. It's one of the things that I say. It's like temperature is a state of mind. I've got loads of them. I could do a whole blog just about the stupid things I say. But it's true. It's not about what you've got. It is what you do with it. And if you're an image maker, whether it is stills or it's film, if you do it well, you do it well. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It's about making images, and images are converging now. So,
but it's like we've mentioned sort of along those lines. We mentioned two things in our in talking. One is our various clients, people that we actually work with directly. But then we're talking about shows, whether it's trade shows or consumer.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, for reasons that you and I know, I'm not going to name names here, but there is a sort of show coming up later in the year.
Yeah.
Where there is the possibility that I may be doing some podcasting and some blogging along with that. Now, the people involved, they have this idea, we'll just whack a video up on YouTube and people will go and see it. Well, it doesn't necessarily work like that. People will find it, and they will find it eventually, and word of mouth spreads. But if you can create, it's a bit like creating a brand. If you can create and you drive interest, then that's what is important. So both you and I are talking to our clients every day saying, have you thought about doing this? Or someone I was talking to earlier in this week about doing some studio shots, studio-based shots. But they're also saying, I need to get a promotional video done. Can you do this, or do you know? And do you know someone that can do it? And between us, we've got all the contacts that we can produce this, and it's not just going back to what we were saying. We're not obviously trying to step on toes, but if we can say to someone that we know who does video, either can you advise us, because there's not a big production budget for video, they don't need that, they just need a talking heads thing or just a very informal thing, or if we can actually get those people to take care of the video themselves under our guidance, and that's a good way to do it. So yeah, all in all, it was a good show, wasn't it?
Brilliant show. Yeah, I got far more out of it than I expected. Like I said, we went out for one seminar.
Yeah.
Spent probably 4 hours there.
Yeah.
Chatting to people, learning stuff. Yeah, there were two sides of it. Some people weren't very keen to talk to us because we're photographers, they're a bit anti. And other people embracing it and thinking it's great that there is that crossover.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see it more and more. I think when we're up at Focus, we're going to see quite a lot of similar stuff there. There's going to be more and more emphasis on video and the convergence. Yeah,
and I think it's been funny that my take on it, because I go to Focus every year and I know you do.
I have to.
Well,
yeah. They make me.
Yeah, incidentally, Matt shoots stuff for Focus, so a vested interest maybe. But so I think it's been a funny few years. A couple of years ago, there was that year that Canon didn't put in an appearance, which was interesting. Then the following year, they were there, and I assume they're going to be there because, let's face it, a lot of people would agree that perhaps they are leading the way with DSLR technology. We try to keep an open mind. We're both Nikon shooters, but, you know,
it's all just kit,
isn't it, at the end of the day? It's all just tools. But, yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see just how these last 12 months, because I've noticed with my social media activities, there has been a noticeable change with this sort of thing. So that's going to be really interesting. How many people will recognise from this week's shows that will be there? That'll be interesting to see. But it'll also be intriguing to see, you know, there'll be all the seminars on the Nikon stand, and then you'll get people like Lee Filters, who they have there. Traditionally, they have their... guy's name? I forget now, but they'll have their guest speakers that talk about how they use graduated filters in
Chris
the landscape.
Will be there talking Chris Packham about all this.
But will they have video documentary makers standing on their stand talking about how they use filters, for example,
in
moving image? Because, you know, filters, in fact, I was talking to my friend Will, who no doubt is listening.
Hi Will
Just embarrassing him a bit. And we will get together for that coffee soon. We were talking about neutral density filters towards the end of this week, and we're recording this on what day is it? Saturday. And we were talking about neutral density filters, and I always remember you mentioned Chris Packham. He did a show called Wild Shots, which was a wildlife photography sort of weekly show.
Clues in the name.
There is a clue in the there really is. But he referred to things like filters and various accessories as being photographic jewellery. And I think that is a trap that people fall into. There are only a handful of filters that we would use, not even day to day, but we would have them in our case. Things like polarizing filters and you know, sort of maybe a graduated filter and neutral density filters, which, for those that don't know, your neutral density filter, if you're in a shooting on a very bright day and you've got sort of a really dark sort of shadow area, say if you're in the landscape or what have you, or in a back garden even, but the sky is really bright, you might have 2, 3, 4 even f-stops of light difference between the brightness of the sky and the darkest shadows. You can then use these filters to essentially darken down, like a graduated filter, you darken down the sky, so levels it all off, makes your exposures more balanced. But yeah, we were talking about sort of ND filters and stuff, and that's one of the few examples where, you know, it's worth having them in your bag, because it does help you out.
I think polarizing filter, ND filter,
that's about it. That's kind of it.
You know what I mean? What else do you need?
And one other thing that I would recommend people often do, you know, they'll buy something like, you know, like a £1,200 lens, for example, and they don't put any glass on the front. Word of warning, if you're going to drop your lens, do it when you've got a filter on the front, because it's cheaper to replace, and my personal experience has proved this, it's cheaper to replace even a £20 or an £8 whatever filter on the front than it is to replace a whole lens or have it serviced.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Totally. What I spend, for example, my new, behind you there, my 70-200 AFS Nikon lens, £1,700 worth of lens.
Yeah.
Why ruin the awesome quality of the image and the glass and all the wonderful manufacturing going into that by putting a £20 piece of rubbish on the
See, now that's interesting.
It's sort of, you know, that's my view. You've got all this wonderful glass.
You do, but
why? You might as well shoot for a dirty window.
Yeah, but if you're... oh, here we go.
It's just a personal opinion.
Of course it is. Yeah.
And look after you. Keep your lens hood on. You drop your lens, it's going to...
But okay, let's put a caveat on this then. I mean, I'm of the school of thought that I think it's worth doing. And that's fair enough.
If you're going to do it,
but
the best filter you can.
Yeah. So, for example, you'd get like a skylight or a UV filter, which actually don't have a marked... a noticeable difference in terms of they don't take any light out, so you've still got the maximum light. I see what you're saying, but the caveat would be, if you're going to put this filter on the front to protect your lens, you want to keep it absolutely spotlessly clean back and front.
Make sure it's a decent one.
Make sure it's a decent one.
Because you spend all that money on a lens, you might as well spend another 150, 60 quid.
Absolutely.
Because when you start getting that kind of round, obviously, it's all about budget and what you're doing. If you're a pro, like we are, we spend top money on kit because it's our lenses and stuff pay for themselves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If you're just out there having fun, you know, a £1,700 lens and a £200 filter is a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it is all relative, but I always say get the best kit you can afford to get. And I suppose that goes for, if you're going to have to put something on your lens, if you really insist on doing it, then yeah, get the best you can. But I wouldn't.
And on that bombshell, I think we'll part company lovely.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
No worries.
Catch up soon.
Anytime.
Cheers.
So as you can see, even a simple trip to a trade show can generate some interesting debate. Now hopefully our chat has given you some ideas of your own, and if you're involved in moving image production, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the way DSLR video is making its impact on your industry. Also, if you're a stills photographer, whether that's professional or enthusiast, let me know what you have to say about the exciting new possibilities of video in our stills photography world. You can check out the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, and I will speak to you all very soon.